Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 2nd, 2001, and this is a recording of Janet Moline, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? Wolf Reintroduction. The tape number is MOJ2001-1. Let's listen in.
You'll have plenty to say. I started off with the, I'm Janet. I'm Janet Moline, and this is on Wolf Reintroduction. When some of you saw me writing this, you wondered if you were in the right class, because instead of seeing wolves, you saw glucose plus oxygen equals carbon dioxide, water, and energy. All right, and the two types of energy being heat and ATP. And the fact that you can listen, you can see, you can walk, you can do anything is the result of ATP. So, and then this is, of course, written out in easier language for some, but not for others.
What's ATP?
ATP is adenosine triphosphate, and what it is that there are three. The tri stands for three. There are three high-energy phosphates. And it just kind of looks like this. A, then a P, and a P. And any time you need energy to do something, whatever it is, this P drops off, you get to use this energy, and you are left with ADP. This then must go back into the cell, to the powerhouse of the cell, where the glucose is broken down, and then the energy that's in the bonds holding the C's and the H's and the O's together will hook a P back on, and you're ready to go. What runners do, and long-distance athletes, is that they need so much energy that they actually get down to the AP. And they get an oxygen deficiency. Glucose keeps being broken down, but instead of being broken down to this, it's broken down to lactic acid, which then makes them tired, and then their body kicks in and starts burning that up again. So everything we do is based on ATP. Now, when we take in too much glucose, and by the way, glucose comes in with every sugar and carbohydrate that you eat. Whenever you take in, and fat is not burned as fat. Fat is burned as glucose. It's changed to glucose. So all the food that you take in is then converted into this formula eventually. And of course, if you don't need those carbohydrates, they get stored as fat for a later time. Okay? Bears need fat for a later time. Okay, any animal that hibernates needs fat for a longer time. Now, you know these little chipmunks that are running around here? Not very big, are they? Little suckers. Okay, by the way, there are two things. There's the little chipmunks, which have the stripes around the eyes, and little with one with their tails up, and then there's the fat ground squirrels. Okay, and they don't have stripes around their eyes. They're the really big ones. All right, and neither one of those, however, are big enough to be able to hibernate. A bear can put on a lot of weight, and these other ones can't put on weight, so they don't hibernate. Well, wolves can't put on that weight either, so they don't hibernate. They have to keep hunting for food. Well, I thought I would just start out here with, because we're going to come back to this equation, descriptions. Just throw me out some descriptions. When you think of wolves, what descriptions come to mind?
Dog.
Pardon?
A dog.
A dog. Okay, it's a dog, right. A pack. Pack, good.
Predator.
Beauty. Family.
Good ones.
Water.
Another one. They are. What else?
Vicious.
They have different personalities.
They do have different personalities, that's right.
I heard the band practicing and I thought it was your video with wolves howling.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
I do too. I take exception to that.
Oh, no, you shouldn't, because people will pay big bucks to go out into the wilderness and to be able to hear the howl of wolves. You betcha. That's big bucks. So you are producing a big buck sound when you are doing this.
In Chicago, when the local fire sirens go off, the Brookfield Zoo wolf pack starts howling.
Oh, it's on that same pitch. The same pitch. Yep.
Are they carnivores or are they omnivores?
They actually are omnivores, all right, but they are majorly carnivores. They will eat some fruit, all right, of course, if they are eating insects, but they would be probably, if they could get near mulberries or fruit, and they do eat some grass, just like your dog might eat grass, and you go, what the heck is the dog eating grass for? But they may also eat grass. So they're mostly carnivores, but do have enough so that we would have to say that they really are omnivores. Any other descriptions here? No one said afraid, scary.
We have a reputation. Afraid, scary.
Okay, afraid, scary. Okay, scary.
How do you spell
it? All right, scary. Okay, not scabby, scary. Okay. Well, when we said to whom, vicious to whom, do any of you live in states where there are already wolves? We have people from Minnesota. Okay, how about
California?
California.
Washington? I think Washington has.
California does not have wolves.
Coyotes.
Coyotes they have. Coyotes, you have coyotes, and you have like the kit fox, which is in danger. So you have foxes and you have coyotes. When I'm so confident kind of saying that, that is not to say you couldn't have one walk in, all right, and be there unbeknownst. When we left Illinois, a black bear had entered Iowa from Minnesota and heading south. Nobody knew where it came from and nobody knew where it was going. And right now we have no clue. I don't know, because we haven't been following. Of course, it's a local thing, so it's not going to be in the Seattle paper. The bear in Iowa has made its way to Ottumwa. I mean, we don't hear that. But so I'm not saying there couldn't be a wolf, but it's not. Now, anyone here from Oregon?
Yeah.
Oh, from Oregon. Yes. Now, you had a wolf last year. You know that, don't you?
No.
You did. Oh, no. You had one last year. It crossed the Snake River from Idaho into Oregon. Now, the people in Oregon weren't happy. Hello, get this wolf out of here. So the federal officials came, they trapped your one lonely wolf and took it back to Montana. So you did have one last year. Okay, but they didn't let it stay. Okay.
We have wolves in Washington, though, don't we?
Not yet. Not yet. Okay.
We have sanctuary.
Well, when I say not yet, maybe within the last few months, they have been reintroduced into the Olympic Peninsula. That's where a target population is seen as being a potential.
I know that I've been to the wolf sanctuary, but I don't know. I think the purpose of it is for reintroducing wolves.
No.
It isn't?
Wolf-hagen is to protect wolves that have been raised in zoos, pets, or whatever.
Oh.
And they have no place to go.
Yeah.
But they're not intended to be reintroduced. They're intended.
Yeah, that's why I don't.
They're given a safe place to live.
Yeah, and that's why I said I don't, because some of these things are like the El Lobo, the Mexican wolf. Is supposed to be introduced into Arizona and New Mexico, and I'm not sure whether, I mean, some were released and then they were shot, and they may have captured a few more of them, so I'm not sure what the status is of that population. But I would say probably, I don't know if you people in Washington will have to decide if you indeed want wolves back in the Olympic Peninsula.
They're also talking about bringing into the Poseidon Wilderness, which is next to the Nice Cascade, introducing them from Alberta, who's coming in.
Well, and the thing is, they might, if they could just walk in, they could probably live there. The question is, what barriers do they have to get over? Now, you see, where we live in the Midwest, it hasn't been a problem because people, the wolves came, we don't think that when they were killed in the United States that they were ever all killed out in Minnesota. That there was always a population in Minnesota, even in the darkest hour of U.S. history with the wolves, they were still in Minnesota. So when the endangered, when the bounty ended, and the bounties didn't end in Michigan until 1960, that's not that long ago, when the bounties finally ended, that the wolves were able to multiply, and they have since spread out and gone into the UP and have gone into Wisconsin from Minnesota. Now the question is, what will happen when they get into Iowa and Illinois? See, that's our decision. And our states probably don't have a plan about what will happen to them once they come into our states. Although we're agricultural states, but we don't have many, our hogs are mainly in hog confinements, and you don't see many cattle. Now in Minnesota, of course, and Wisconsin, they have the dairy. That would have been a great bigger problem than in Illinois. But it'd be interesting to see what will happen in Illinois. Now, what do you know what they eat in Minnesota? What their prime food is?
Probably mice.
The deer. Oh, the deer. Yeah, they eat. Now, who said mice?
I said, do they eat mice, and that's what they do?
No, mice are eaten by coyotes. And so the coyotes, then that's an interesting problem too. In Yellowstone, the coyotes versus the wolves, because once the wolves, well, let me just write down here. Let's get rid of this here. If we put down, we had the wolves. Now, wolves and coyotes belong to the dog family. All right, so they're really gonna kind of wanna be like when two dogs get together. They're gonna decide who's top. Well, is there any, there's no question about here who was top dog in Yellowstone. Top dog was definitely the wolves, and the coyotes were down here. Okay, I'll take whatever's left over. It's okay. Well, once you got rid of the wolves, who's left? The coyote became top dog. All right, now they mainly eat small rodents. They don't eat elk. They don't eat bison. They don't eat white-tailed deer, unless it's already been killed. So they mainly eat rodents. Well, if, for those of you who are ecologically thinking here, who else needs the rodents? Who else mainly eats rodents?
Pardon?
Owls.
Owls, exactly. Owls eat, rodents are also eaten by owls and hawks. Yeah,
raptors.
Raptors in general. And foxes. So who do you think wasn't doing so well at Yellowstone once the wolf was gone?
Fox.
The foxes weren't doing very well, the hawks weren't doing very well, and the owls weren't doing well. Well, now the wolf is back. So what about Mr. and Mrs. Coyote? Better get out of there. They're half the number of what they were before the wolves were back. The number of coyotes have already been cut in half in Yellowstone. All right, so that means more rodents, and more rodents means more owls. Oh, you forgot the big one.
Eagles.
Oh, snakes. Love rodents. They were hurting as well. So now in Yellowstone, with the coyote kind of like really back to being the second dog. Wolf is the top dog again, all these others. And you know who else is doing better? The grizzly bear. The grizzly. Now you'd say, How can the grizzly be doing better? How can the grizzly be doing better? What do you think?
It eats the birds, doesn't it?
No. What would, if you were a big grizzly, do you think you'd bother with little birds?
No.
No!
That's the only thing it would eat.
Do they eat foxes?
Are they scavengers?
They're scavengers. They're scavengers. Okay, now come on. If you were a big grizzly bear, okay, think about it. How are you going to catch a deer? Bye, grizzly! Now, the grizzlies can run pretty fast, but they can't run as fast as a deer. So all that big prey that they would love to scavenge on, can coyotes kill them?
No.
No.
I thought coyotes could kill livestock, though. Would coyotes kill
Yes,
livestock?
They can, but what kind of livestock?
Domesticated. Huh?
Babies.
Very small.
The small, the young, and sheep, and it would be the lambs. Okay, now the fact is wolves have really gotten a bad rap for killing that coyotes have done, and that killing that cougars have done, and of course the big killer of farm animals are packs of wild dogs. You know, you hear the story, you don't want your dog anymore, what are you going to do? You drive out into the countryside and let the dog go, because the dog is going to do just great out in the countryside. And it does do just great. Finds other dogs, and they breed, and they get their packs of dogs, and there's a farmstead. Now they can kill cattle, packs of wild dogs. Okay, which I know in Iowa, and I'm sure it's the same in Illinois, and perhaps farmers out here, they may shoot a dog first and then ask later about who it belongs to. I know they can in Iowa, because there was a controversy. People had two German shepherds that got out of their yard and went and were hassling geese in a farmer's yard. And the farmer took the shotgun and he shot both of those German shepherds. And the people were outraged. And it just depends on what side you're on. Because if you're sympathetic with the farmers and you say, hey, you know what, if you got two German shepherds, you keep them tied up. And they didn't. So wild dogs can do a lot of damage that wolves get blamed for. Yes?
When you're talking about Yellowstone, what's happened to the elk population since the wolf is back in Yellowstone?
Well, of course, the big helper of the elk population were the fires. Okay, that was the big, I mean, because before the fires at Yellowstone, the wolves had already been extirpated, not extinct. Extirpated just means in that area. They were, the elk, there were no wolves to eat the elk. So, and then there had been some mild winters, which had kept the elk multiplying. And so then, of course, when, I forget how many elk died. Oh, I'm going to say a third of the herd died.
In the fires?
After the fires. Not during the fire. The fire killed very few animals because they could escape. But there just wasn't food for them. The winter range. But then, of course, the next spring, with all the grasses coming up, then the elk really have rebounded. But now with the wolves back, and they do follow them. We were at Yellowstone, when was that? Was that in the summertime?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. And we wanted to see the wolves. So we went to the Lamar Valley thinking, oh, we want to see wolves. They had followed the elk up into the high country. So we didn't get to see them. So you have to know what time of the year to go to Yellowstone to actually see the wolves. Okay, well, we don't probably, how would forest fires help wolves?
Warm grows after a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they talk about reintroducing wolves, and they'll say, well, they're going to be reintroduced. There's 10,000 acres or 100,000 acres of trees. Well, you know what? We went up to Copper Basin yesterday, and what do we see? On the whole way up there, we saw one chipmunk, ants, two butterflies, plenty of mosquitoes at the end, okay? Needed to tell these birds here, hey, get out of there, there's food. We were desperately needing bats, but we really did not see, we heard a few birds, but we never saw a bird, we just heard a few. So in other words, in the deep forest, you really aren't necessarily having that much wildlife. So forest fires, actually, if you wanted to have some good deer from wolf habitat around here, is to have a few good fires, clean out some of these trees, and then we get the new trees coming up, and the trees that come up. Now, conifers, slow growing or short growing? Conifers.
Fast growing.
Fast growing? Well, a few pines are fast growing pines. But the Doug fir, you plant a Doug fir in your yard for short term? Well, I don't know. I think it takes a long time for Doug firs to grow. And spruce, I mean, you might as well, if you don't plant a spruce when you're, 70 and hope to see it be very big, because, you'll have to live to be 110 to be able to really see that spruce really go up. They are slow growing, so after a forest fire, that's when you get the aspen coming in. And the aspen and the deciduous are fast growing. They're not big, they're fast growing. And that's when you get the deer in, because you don't see the deer eating needles, you see them eating the leaves. Right. Well, why did we hate wolves so much in this country? If I asked you, and we could make a list here, just give me some stories that have wolves in them, good or bad.
Little red.
Okay, little red. So little red. Wolf, good or bad?
Bad.
Okay.
Three pigs and the big bad wolf.
Okay, so we got the three pigs. Okay, the three pigs, Little Red Riding Hood. Okay, what else? Stories. Got too bad. Give me some good. Good wolf.
Well, you have one that's like the opposite of three pigs, and there's three wolves and a bad pig.
Yes. There's the three little wolves and the big bad pig. You haven't read that
that's
story?
That's a more modern story. Probably.
Oh, and that pig is very bad. Very bad. Uses dynamite, uses bad things. Okay. All right. So it was the three little wolves and the big bad pig. Okay, what else? You guys.
Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf, good or bad?
Bad.
Sure, Peter. Bad. What else? What instrument plays the wolf?
Bassoon, I think.
Is it the bassoon?
No, it's the bass.
Is it the bass?
Yeah, I think the bassoon plays the grandfather.
Oh, I think you're right. Okay, so the wolf is the bass, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's the piccolo?
The bird.
The birds. Oh, birds are good. Piccolo. Okay, wolves are bad. The bass. Oh. Okay. Well, I need some more goods. Oh, I can give you lots of bats.
The wolf will lie down with the lion.
Get a little theology in here. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. Oh!
Lie down with the lion.
Where's the lion?
So the lion.
The lion.
The wolf always ends up being bad. Even some of the stories like, what was the one? I can't even think of it. I don't want to put you people down here, but when I do this in my high school class, they will tell me episodes of Scooby-Doo that has a bad wolf in it. I get lists this big. They have them all. The Scaring, the Howling, the Werewolf in Paris, Werewolf in London. I mean, they go through the whole, we have long lists. And you forgot which is the one that was Kevin Costner's?
Dancing with Wolves.
Dancing with Wolves. And what happens to the wolf? It's a good wolf, wasn't it?
Get shot,
I think, by the soldier. Get shot.
That's a good wolf story.
Oh, it's a good wolf story, yes. It's a good wolf, but what even happens to good wolves? All right, which gives you an idea of should people really be afraid of wolves? Because what's a smart wolf going to do? What's the biggest mistake any animal can make?
Come near humans.
Biggest mistake. Okay? There's a deer we just met on the path here. Had to be really confident that there weren't any enemies around here. Because normally, there are no deer in Illinois that have come that close to us. I'll tell you, unless we're in a tree waiting for them to come with a rifle. Okay, and we know we've cased it out, and we know they're going to walk that way. These stories about wolves all came from where?
England?
Europe.
And including, I don't know if some came from England. Maybe not so many from England, but they certainly came from Germany. The Brothers Grimm. Okay, and how did you scare little children into not going too far from home?
The big bad wolf will get you.
The big bad wolf is going to get you. So these kids grow up with the big bad wolf. And when they come from Europe to the United States, what do they bring with them? Stories about wolves. Now, we can raise the German flag and the Swedish flag and the French flag and the British flag, but by gosh, do you think wolves want to see that flag coming? No, they don't want to see that flag coming. Because Europeans were the ones that had a problem with wolves. Did Native Americans have problems with wolves? Native Americans did not have a problem with wolves. They had wolf clans, they had wolf gens, they had wolf dances. They got along fine with wolves. So, my next question. I already raised here when you said ferocious, and I said to whom? In a given year, about how many people are killed by wolves?
Probably not.
Not very many. Now let me ask you this. How many people are killed by dogs?
A lot. Quite a few.
Now, is anybody saying, let's get rid of dogs?
No, but they're trying to ban the pit bulls.
They're trying to ban the pit bulls. But no one's going to say, let's get rid of dogs, because they kill so many people. Bats kill about one person a year. How many people say, oh, bats, oh, let's get rid of them? Okay. What do we see? How many people are either killed or maimed in boating accidents a year?
16,000 in water skiing.
16,000 in water skiing. Okay. Either injuries or deaths per year.
Yeah, okay. About 15 per year with sharks.
50 for sharks, yep. And yet sharks are bad and water skiing's good, right? But sharks are good.
But has anyone been killed by a wolf?
Pardon?
Has anyone been killed by a wolf?
Has anybody been killed by a wolf?
Yeah.
You know, until last year, we were always able to say there's been no documented deaths in the United States by wolves. We were able to say that there were no documented deaths. And then last year, in Canada, Algonquin National Park, where people go to see wolves, and wolves are fairly visible, some people knew that they had a two-year-old or a three-year-old who was outside, and they went inside and left this child out there, and they had seen the wolves. And the wolves grabbed a little child. Okay. Now, that's so unusual. That is so unusual to have something like that happen, that now there is one documented death, so we're not able to say. Now, some of you that are from the Seattle area, ever seen When Animals Attack? Have seen that video, When Animals Attack? When Animals Attack, have you seen that video? Oh, it's, you know, it's really a disgusting video, but my kids absolutely adore it. And so, I mean, if we have a lockdown for all that Columbine stuff, when we had lockdowns and that kind of stuff, I always keep it in school so that if there's something that we can't leave the classroom or something, I have When Animals Attack. Okay, I shove that into the video and go, okay, it's really cutthroat. I mean, I never use it any other time. But they talk about a wolf in one of the suburbs of Seattle killing, maiming a child. Now, people will say, oh yeah, no. There was one kill, a wolf attack outside of Seattle because it's on, but it wasn't a wolf. What was it?
A hybrid.
A wolf-dog hybrid. Now they are legal in Iowa. They are illegal in Illinois. Because I'll have students that say, oh, I know someone with a dog that's half wolf, and I'll say, well, you better not talk about it too much. I said, because if the conservation officers in Illinois hear that, your dog will be confiscated. Now, if you can find someone in Iowa to take care of it, but in Illinois, they will not let wolf dog. Now, what's bad with a wolf dog combination? If I say we have nothing here, we worried about deaths from dogs. We don't worry about deaths from wolves. Can you see the problem with a wolf dog combination?
Yes.
The dog part of them wants to be, woof, 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 woof. I'm a dog, do you love me? Okay, the wolf part of them says, I got a jaw that can crunch a grizzly paw. So they have strength, which normally their strength is, oh man, people. You know, I could kill you if I wanted to, but you know what? You'd probably kill me first. Okay, so I really don't want to be with you. But if I'm a wolf dog, I kind of want to be here. But if you pat me, I might bite your hand off. Okay, so that's why wolf dogs are the absolute worst thing that we can have, and that's what goes into a lot of those sanctuaries, because people are so cool to have a wolf dog combination, and they get to a certain size and a certain age, and they realize that they have, they're ripping up the house, they can't be tied up, they're just, and so they have to then go to sanctuaries. And that's very sad, to go to sanctuaries and see, because they have one in, for those of you from Minnesota, you have a sanctuary north of the Twin Cities that has red wolves in it, and it also has wolf-dog combinations. That they have to be neutered, and they don't euthanize them, which would be the cheaper. Well, it's not a problem up there because they have so many deer. They just have roadkill deer that they feed to them. Well, let's see. How are we doing on time here? Okay. I have a handout here on wolves that, and this is one that I use in my classroom. So when there are certain things in there, you're welcome, that are, wolves are never in it. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. Maybe it's out of context. Are you familiar with Barbara Kingsolver's book, Prodigal Summer?
No.
Anybody here have read it?
I've read it.
I'm just wondering if her, if she has, you know, her main character, one of the main characters, is a forest ranger that checks out wildlife and lives in a cabin. And I found out from reading that book, I want to know if this is accurate science, that when a wolf, for example, a wolf population is threatened, actually the result will be that they will multiply faster.
That was a coyote, wasn't it?
That was a coyote. Those were coyotes.
Yeah.
They were trying to reintroduce the coyotes into the Appalachians, West Virginia, and the difficulty is that one of the characters is a coyote bounty hunter.
You know, that's so unbelievable. The plot of that, I'll just say, coyotes just don't have to be introduced anywhere. There are even coyotes now in New York City, believe it or not.
I don't think that it was a deliberate introduction. She was watching them come in on their own.
Oh, okay.
And guarding them. In other words, they were coming in, it was not done by man.
Okay. The problem, The problem with coyotes and why deer are, I mean, why wolves are the way to actually control coyote population is that coyotes, by their very nature, are smaller, and it's just like trying to get rid of mice. It's not going to happen, okay? We're going to have mice, okay? We're going to have roaches. Something big like a wolf was actually pretty easy to kill. I mean, when you think about it, how in the United States we got rid of thousands, we got rid of millions of wolves using shotguns on horseback. We didn't have plane. I mean, people to say, well, what if we want to get rid of, what if they become a problem, we want to get rid of them? That's not a problem. We got rid of them when people had to get rid of them on horseback. Now we have planes and helicopters and automatic weapons. There'd be no way we could, I mean, it'd be so easy to get rid of wolves now. But coyotes are little and they're harder, they're much, much harder to get rid of. So, and the problem with coyotes is that the ones that you can see and shoot are the dumb ones. And the smart ones are being, the smart ones then are breeding. So I don't know if it was in Nebraska or Kansas, one of those two states, one set out poison carcasses and the other one didn't poison at all. And can you imagine which state the coyotes were more controlled in? The state that didn't do anything. Because what happened was, if it was Kansas that didn't do anything, or Nebraska, because they didn't do anything, you had some dumb coyotes and some smart coyotes all mingled together. And what they did in the other state, by killing ones that were scavengers, that meant the ones that actually killed were the ones that lived to breed. And so then they became really killer coyotes versus ones that were just doing, just basically scavenging. So in wildlife management, you can't figure out, and that's why with coyotes, I mean, she could have watched it and followed it and had kind of like, because it was, it's like having deer in your yard.
Her claim was, because if the coyote felt threatened, they would maybe have two dominant females in a pack instead of one, so they breed more.
Oh, they do breed more. That's right. They have more. Well, because if they have more of a chance of dying young and being killed, they'll go into heat more often. They'll have bigger. They will, because they'll be food available, and then they will breed. That is true. Now, of course, that the people from Minnesota. Who's from Minnesota again? Okay. Now, you certainly have heard of problems of your wolves in Minnesota. Have you heard of problems in Minnesota? Killing dogs has become a problem. Okay, because people have to, who like leave their dog tied up outside, that's become a problem because the wolves might come in and actually kill a dog. Even while you're watching, they might kill the dog. But a problem that they've got in Minnesota are people feed deer. They feed the deer. Bingo. You feed the deer. What's the main food of deer? What's the main food of wolves? Deer. So if you don't want wolves around, you don't feed the deer, because the wolves will follow the deer, and now you've got a wolf hanging around your property that wouldn't be there if you just let the deer be out where they should be, out in the countryside. I put some statistics just in here of the red wolves. You can just read this at your leisure. Red wolves have had a very hard time. Those of you that have gone to the Fort Defiance Zoo in Tacoma, you have three red wolves there, that zoo. Very, very nice little zoo. So you can see red wolves there. Red wolves have basically been scattered at zoos all over the country, and they're all they're, you would just think, oh, they just have three red wolves there and they'll have more. They can only have more. All red wolves around the country are on birth control until the people who run this family tree say, okay, let's see, in Seattle, you can breed your red wolves now. Otherwise, they're all on birth control because they have there isn't enough habitat to release them to in the southeast. And that's been a real problem with finding, well, who wants a wolf back? And they've had a hard time in North Carolina, and the biggest fighter of wolves has been Jesse Helms. Who doesn't want wolves? Okay, just tobacco, no wolves. And actually, I think tobacco kills more people than wolves do. So he maybe has his priority a little mixed up there. They put them in the Rocky Mountains, but as you see here, they didn't make it in the Rocky Mountains. They had pups, but they just, with disease, predation, malnutrition, and parasites, they never lived past a year. So Fish and Wildlife threw up their arms and said, what's the point of just having the pups all die? So they recaptured all the red wolves that they had put into the Smokies, and they're still concentrating on North Carolina of where to put them. So that's why you have three in your zoo here. They're just waiting, and they're waiting in Minnesota, and they're waiting at zoos. It's probably the San Diego Zoo. A lot of zoos around the country have some red wolves just waiting for reintroduction. I've shown you what the down here what the wolves eat, so you can see that. And then on the back side, what causes the death of most wolves would be starvation in the pups. This is up at the top paragraph, starvation with the pups and territorial disputes with other wolves. And that has been a real problem in survival of wolves, although the wolves in Minnesota are doing very, very well. They kill a lot of wolves in Minnesota, which is very controversial. You know, it's one of the things, even if in Washington, you think it might be a good idea to have them. You know, the people that are pro-wolf want them released into the Olympic National Park. But if their population gets too big and they leave the park, you have to be willing to have them euthanized. You have to be willing. It's very sad. And people say, can't they just put them someplace else? Well, what they did in Minnesota is that they have killed their wolves, their extra wolves in Minnesota. There they put them to sleep. What Wisconsin did was to take them and transplant them into habitat that they knew was wolf habitat. Unfortunately, there were other wolves there. So what do they do to a new wolf coming in?
Kill it.
So who was more humane? Wisconsin with a no-kill policy or Minnesota with the euthanized policy? You see it, you have to look at it both sides, which is going to be best for the wolves. Well, gosh, I've talked a lot here, and I really didn't get into Idaho. Do we have anyone here from Idaho? Good. I don't know how they're doing in Idaho. I do know in Idaho, the Nez Perce are the ones that manage the wolves in Idaho. And it's been controversial because some of them have gotten out and ranchers and so forth want to kill them. The same thing down is true when they leave Yellowstone. Now, what I always personally find disturbing, like at Yellowstone, is when they leave the park, they're shot when they get onto farms. But those farms are owned by guess who? They're grazing on federal land. You own that land. So the question is, what do you want on your land? Do you want cattle on your land, or do you want wolves on your land? And that's an issue that it comes down to.
Do you live in Montana or not? Cattle?
No, sheep.
Well,
yep, the sheep. The sheep.
Park Service used to hear a lot about cattle.
Oh yeah, sheep. It was the sheep actually. So the sheep are on your land. And the question is, do you want sheep on your land or do you want wolves on your land? Okay, and that's why we have the federal government involved in this. When people say the federal government shouldn't be involved in this, but that's the same thing in the Southwest. We have a lot of ranchers who are ranching on federal lands. And there have been some yeah, you know, you have to hand it to some groups like the, I think it was the Nature Conservancy. What they were doing is that they were having people all over the country buy ranches in the Southwest, buy the ranches that were actually in that habitat, but not let anybody know that they weren't in there. Well, then, of course, the ranchers caught wind of what was going on, that the land was actually secretly being brought up by us Northerners who don't know much. And then they would say, okay, you know, wolves can go back to this habitat. But that brings up some interesting questions too, which you'll probably talk about when you come about economic decisions. What about if it's a town? If a town is based on ranching, what happens if the people buy up the habitat for the wolves and get rid of the ranching? What does that do to the little town? So there are some interesting economic things which I think you'll probably address when you talk about those decisions.
But is it true that the wolf is incompatible with the ranching industry?
It hasn't been in Minnesota. It hasn't been, well, I'll tell you, and part of it's on here. Minnesota has the bounty. If you can prove that your animal has indeed been killed by a wolf, okay, which is tough when it's a calf, because a calf can be one meal for the pack. Usually a wolf doesn't, wolves are territorial, as you know. So tend to just go in and make random kills of cattle or sheep. They tend to live in the area. And so the farmer that is well acquainted with his property knows when a wolf is kind of hanging around. And those are the ones that they have to keep an eye on. You know, it may be over a year. They may hang around for a year before they make a kill. So it's nothing sudden of wolves just going in and killing and then backing off. Okay, they live there and they case the area, and it's their territory. In Minnesota, they have found that electric fences do a pretty good job, as well as big dogs that live out with the cows. So they're huge dogs that live out with the cows. There are some dogs, I believe, that live with sheep quite well and can really protect the sheep, but you have to invest in those types of dogs. Now, you see, that's different because farms are smaller in Minnesota than they are in Idaho, where I don't think a rancher, could have an electrical fence around all the acreage that they might, but they might know, all right? You know, so I mean, when I say that, yeah, they in the Midwest, it's been compatible. There are plenty of white-tailed deer. There are plenty of things to eat. I wouldn't think Washington would be a problem because you don't have your agriculture is not necessarily animal-based, and if it is, there aren't huge-scale ranches. There are ones that are a manageable size to keep wolves from getting in there. They don't want to mess with people much, you know. So where is it? In New York State, they want to reintroduce them into New York State, and the people there opposing it are the hunters. New York is not an agricultural state, but it's the hunters that don't want the competition from wolves. That's an interesting one, because it's not always what you think it will be.
What was the book that was written 20 years ago maybe, about this man, the scientist that went out and lived with the wolves and studied them? I think
Burley Mua?
Yeah, and that...
Burley Mua studied wolves.
But he studied...
In the Arctic.
Yeah, Ellesmere Island, and he was up in the...
This was Farley Mua.
Okay, there have been ones in which it's been up in the Canadian... I mean, up in the Arctic, the Arctic... wolf that they had studied. And they get kind of used to people being around. Yeah. I mean, when the biologists have to actually collar some of those wolves, they don't usually dart them. In other words, they can actually get the young wolf, and they can measure it and everything, and it doesn't usually attack. You just talk to it very quietly and kind of hold its mouth shut and make all the measurements and put on the collar, and off it walks. So, which is not what you would expect to happen at all. Well, we have 10 minutes left. Are there any other questions that we have?
What's the connection between this and your photos?
Oh, thank you. Good. Yeah, good. Glad you brought that up. All right. So why don't wolves bother to attack? Why don't they bother to attack rodents? Let's ask it that way first. Why do they not, using this equation, why do not wolves eat ground squirrels?
Not too much energy, not efficient.
Not efficient. What kind of animals do they go after when they do hunt? Who are going to be the easiest ones to catch?
The small young.
The old and the injured.
Yeah.
That's right. When they hone in on one, it looks like they are just randomly going, but they are. They have honed in on what they want to kill, because animals are not going to waste any more energy than what they need to. Now, for humans, we're not really seen as a source of energy. We really aren't a source of energy, because we might have a weapon, and they might have to, in other words, the best thing to do is to avoid us, because even we're not worth it energy-wise to even mess with. Cows, now there's something to mess with, besides they taste good. All right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? So I put this on here that they will follow animals, they go after the old and the sick, and they're just not going around randomly attacking just for the heck of it. That's why I don't know when dogs, I don't know that they even eat the dogs. That might just be a competition thing, like in Minnesota when they lost a lot of dogs in Minnesota because of that. Any other questions that you have?
Have you seen the book Playing God in Yellowstone?
No, I haven't. I may have seen. I have a book at home on Yellowstone and the wolves. And to tell you the truth, I haven't.
It's old. I suppose it's probably 15 years old. But it's very interesting for all of the ecological implications of reduced wolf population,
okay.
And then of the overpopulation of the elk.
Yeah. My what I teach. In Rock Island, I teach a global biology course which covers all the biomes, starting with the tundra to the tropical rainforest. And so I have, in order to actually keep up with what's going on in the entire world environmentally, so I could answer some of the questions you were asking me here today, I read a lot of periodicals. So, I mean, I have 10 wildlife magazines that come to the house. And I just don't end up reading books. And then I just read 2 newspapers a day plus 3 on Sunday. So just reading that stuff, I don't get to books.
I was just curious how accurate.
Yeah. Now we have a video, and I'm just wondering if we can start watching it, and then if you want to watch part of it another time, we can finish the rest of it at a later time.
We better close the window for work.
Another good book about wolves is Wolfling by Sterling North.
What's it called?
Wolfling.
Wolfen?
Wolfling.
A wolfling. Yes, and that's
Is it rewind?
No, it's not rewinding, but that's
looks like it's on fast forward, doesn't it? But I'm playing instead.
Elk and mule deer and grizzly.
Tell me when it starts now.
Asia to the Americas came and went. Many species migrated between the old world and the new. Among the animals who made the journey eastward to North America were herds of muskox, caribou, elk, and buffalo. And following the herds, small bands of nomadic hunters and their kindred spirits, the wolf packs. The wolf is primarily a hunter of large mammals. And on the vast Arctic tundra, the prey of choice is the muskox. Arctic wolf pack may range over 1,000 square miles to find sufficient food to survive. And locating their prey is just the beginning of a dangerous encounter. It fails more often than it succeeds. Muskox are formidable creatures. They possess sharp hooves and curved horns, and a defensive formation almost impossible to breach. There is little chance for success in confronting them head on. As long as the herd remains together, it is secure. For the wolf pack, the plan is simple. They must get the herd to run. On the run, it may be possible to separate a slower, weak individual and cut it off from the safety of the group.
That behavior is what got muskox totally killed in Alaska. Because once you have automatic weapons,
the wolves bear evidence of wolves suffering the hooves and horns of their prey. Young and inexperienced wolves can be seriously injured or killed. This is neither the first nor last time these particular adversaries will test each other.
Luckily, Canada did not kill all their muskox, so we had to reintroduce
them. The next time they meet,
back to
conditions
Alaska.
May have changed. South of the tundra, the great central plains of the continent begin, a vast prairie seemingly designed for the success of one creature, adaptable, hardy, prolific, and majestic, bison. Once these ranges were dark with herds of uncountable number whose existence meant life itself to those who followed their regular migrations, south in autumn, north in spring. The lives of wolf and man converged within the circle of the great buffalo herds. The wolf packs were so much a part of the system that they were tolerated on the fringes of the herds, and so familiar that skilled native hunters wearing wolf skins on their backs could move among the buffalo without provoking a stampede. But this inherent balance, perpetually renewed, never wasteful, was a delicate one. The Native Americans who made their homes on the plains and in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains depended on this animal for almost everything. The buffalo gave them food, hides to cover their lodge poles, clothing, and materials for ornament and armament. The place we now call Idaho was home to the Nez Perce. They had followed the yearly cycle, leaving their river valleys to hunt buffalo on the plains of Montana. Armies from the east changed all that. The Indian people's free occupation of the plains could not be tolerated by a nation bent on dividing and owning territory. Determined to establish farms and ranches, to open mines and build cities. So the buffalo was driven to virtual extinction because the Indian nations depended on them. Thank you. They valued freedom above all else, and when treaty after treaty had been broken by army and government, thunder that rolls in the mountains, who was also called Chief Joseph, began a desperate struggle for survival. With a force that never numbered more than 300 warriors, led by his war chiefs, among them his brother Olive Hood, and the Nez Perce War's primary chronicler, Yellow Wolf, they struck and then retreated north for 1,300 miles against overwhelming odds. Just 40 miles short of the Canadian border, they surrendered after the Battle of the Bear Paw Mountains. When the terms of the surrender too were broken, more than 400 men, women, and children were delivered to a federal prison, and a way of life died with their captivity. The path was now cleared to divide a land that had never known fences. 60 million buffalo had been reduced to piles of bones worth $8 a ton. Wolf pelts were worth $1. By 1888, that price had risen to $5, but by then the wolves had gone the way of the buffalo and had disappeared.
I'm gonna stop this now.
How much longer do you have?
It goes on for about another 20, 25 minutes. So I'm just wondering, because it is 10 to 5.